But I am delighted to say that we do have two guests joining us today. And our second guest of the day is, of course, a man who is here to talk all things US men's national team. A big win last night, as we said. And joining me on the line now to talk all things US men's national team is Mr. Alan Ramsey, here to have a look at what went down in Utah last night. Alan, you've got to be a very happy man indeed. The US men's national team on top and cruising in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to be happy with the way things have gone to this point. They're very close to the point total that you really need to assure your spot in Brazil. And the win over Honduras last night kind of created a little bit of separation in the group. So, yeah, I mean, I think U.S. fans have every reason to be happy right now.
It's obviously a confident position, as you say, that the U.S. find themselves in. 2 points ahead of Costa Rica and a whopping 5 points ahead of Mexico. Is that a big boost for them to be 5 points ahead of Mexico right now when you think we've only got 4 games left, we're past the halfway point? This could be topping the group and securely in the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think being, you know, especially for fans and for the team, it's always a boost to be ahead of Mexico in the standings. You know, any kind of gap between the U.S. and Mexico is always something that you know, on the U.S. side of things that people are happy about. But realistically, beating Panama and then Honduras back-to-back and creating that separation, you know, with what is essentially the fourth-place race, you know, for the group, yeah, you more or less assume that Costa Rica and Mexico at this point are still in control of their destiny to get those second and third spots, or even challenge the U.S. for the top spot in the group. But creating that separation with Panama and Honduras by beating them, and then Panama taking another loss last night, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Now you've got a nice little separation there between the automatic qualifying, you know, spot where you are as the U.S. and with that fourth spot, and you really want to avoid that play-in game because that's always a crapshoot. You know, you don't ever want to be in a situation where you're everything's on the line in one or two games. You want to be where, hey, we've got a little bit of breathing room over that fourth place team, and we're going to get our automatic spot.
It's a really comfortable position, as I keep reiterating, that the U.S. find themselves in. And it was a very comfortable win last night, despite only Jose Altidore's goal separating the two sides. The U.S. looked completely in control. Do you find confidence in that, or do you find it frustrating that they weren't able to put Honduras away to bed with maybe another couple of goals just to secure things a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't take too much out of it. That was a pretty banged-up Honduras team. Certainly not firing on all cylinders coming in. Had a lot of question marks in their side. But at the same time, it's Honduras, and they're always that's the way that a game always goes. It's always nice and tight. They stay compact. They make it really rough on Josie up top. They play a real physical style of game with him, and they've always been able to, you know, they've kind of been one of the bogey teams for the U.S., especially in CONCACAF. So, yeah, I mean, you have to be happy with the performance overall. You have to be happy with the last, you know, four performances, really. And, you know, to get a win, I mean, realistically, the thing that matters is the 3 points. So you got 3 points, even if it's just a one-goal win. You got to take it. You got to shut out. You got a clean sheet. So, you know, everything's good as far as the performance last night and the performance in the last, you know, 3 World Cup qualifiers.
Everything is kind of all good for Jürgen Klinsmann, as you say, and a big part of that comes down to a look of stability in this side. You know, Klinsmann in the last few games appears to have found a starting 11 that he wants to play consistently. Do you think, A, this starting 11 is the one that he's going to be set with, that he'll want to have starting probably the rest of the hexagonal games and possibly in the World Cup, and B, do you think this is a good thing now that the US has a little bit of consistency in this squad, that you've got a very strong idea of who's going to be that front first team sheet?
Yeah, I mean, I think to answer the first part of that, there's still questions about, you know, what's your best 11, and I think you'll see, you know, Landon Donovan get a shot in the Gold Cup, and if he comes out and plays well, then obviously you've got to have a discussion about where he fits into that team. Is he coming on the left where Eddie Johnson was last night? Do you keep Fabian Johnson at left back, or do you stick with Fabian Johnson at left midfielder and move, you know, DeMarcus Beasley back in at left back? Graham Zuzi's been great, so I don't see his position really being in trouble, but you know, you got a guy like Brad Evans playing right back, and he's done a great job. But at the same time, you know, are there better options? Would that possibly be a place where, you know, even in the last hexagonal games, maybe Klinsmann gives somebody else a shot to prove themselves? You know, that's part of the great thing about not chasing points is, you know, he's got a little leeway to play with things a little bit. But it's definitely helped that Zuzi has made his spot on the right. And, you know, that they've got that consistency in the midfield and in the center back pairing. And, yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll help the U.S. moving forward that they can keep this group together and that they have a good, solid starting lineup.
Obviously, that defensive consistency has paid dividends over the last four games in hexagonal qualifying, at least three clean sheets from the last four games. Again, so much worry after the Belgium and Germany game that the U.S. were conceding goals, but in the important games when it matters, these clean sheets are absolutely huge.
Oh, yeah, they're big. I think Omar Gonzalez and Matt Bessler have been very, very good, especially for two guys that, if we'd have talked about it a year ago, that being your complete starting center back group throughout the hexagonal, you probably would have laughed about it. You know, you would have thought, really? I don't see that happening. But they've come on. They've done a nice job. You know, Omar still has a lapse here and there. Bessler still has a lapse here and there. But generally, together, they've been very, very strong. And, I mean, if that stays that way, if those two guys can get a great understanding of each other going into next year, going into, you know, the build-up to the World Cup, then, yeah, I think the U.S. is in a real good position moving forward.
Omar Gonzalez in particular has shone for the LA Galaxy last year, shining for the U.S. men's national team now. Is there any worry at all that, you know, the quality that he's showing is going to attract suitors from elsewhere? Do you see Omar could make a possible move to either South American football or to a maybe higher pedigree football in Europe?
I mean, you saw with Hamburg wanting him that he very well could have already been in Germany had it not been for the knee injury when he first went over there. So I definitely think that he'll draw interest from a lot of places. I think that he kind of fits the mold for, you know, some of those European teams for their center backs. He's big, he's physical, he's a dominant presence in the air. So, yeah, I mean, I think he'll definitely draw interest. I personally would like to see him stay in MLS, you know, at least through this season. And if you make the move, maybe make it in January and hope you find enough playing time in the build to the World Cup, you know, in the second half of next season as you build to the World Cup, that it doesn't affect you. But, yeah, I mean, he's really come back from that knee injury strong, and he's turned into a player. He's maybe not, you know, the ideal center back for your international squad at the moment, but he's got the physical tools, and he's showing really, really well at the moment. So let's hope that he can keep that going, and him and Bessler can keep that partnership going. And for the U.S., that'll be a great thing going forward.
Plenty of positivity around him. Plenty of positivity around Graham Zusi as well. We were talking about that last week on the show. And Michael Bradley, I mean, when you look at this guy and how much he's improved, even in the last 12 months, having regular first-team football at Roma, playing at that high standard in Serie A, and bringing that back into the U.S. men's national team, this is a guy, do you get the feeling this is a guy that could eventually become a real leader on the pitch, take that captain's armband, and be that anchor for years to come in this U.S. men's side?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think he's the heir apparent to the captaincy once, you know, Dempsey's gone. You know, probably Dempsey and Donovan will, I would assume they'll probably leave about the same time from national team duty. So, yeah, I mean, I would think that Michael Bradley is your next man in line, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. A lot of people thought he should have gotten it this time. I personally agree with Klinsmann's decision. You know, you give it to Dempsey, you know, let a guy that you know is going to show up and scrap for you every game and has good credentials on the international level, let him lead you. He's a little bit older, one of your veterans at this point, but Bradley, for being such a young guy, he's already a veteran. He's already one of the leaders of the team. And, yeah, I don't see any issue at all with him taking the captaincy sometime in the future. And right now, I mean, I think you're between Dempsey and Bradley, when both of them are there, your chances of winning go up exponentially.
And we've got now a little bit of a break for the U.S. men's national team, finishing off a great run of four wins on the trot. Coming into the Gold Cup next month, the U.S. men's national team, how is this going to be treated? Is there going to be an ability to put more emphasis on the Gold Cup than maybe would have been because of their standing in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying?
I really don't know. I don't know how I'll deal with it. I would think that, most of your big European-based players are ready to go home for the summer and are ready to, to have that little bit of time off, because next summer you don't get a break. If you go to the World Cup, you don't get a break. Not much of one at all anyway. And so I would assume that, your bigger names, Altidore, Dempsey, Bradley, Jones, you know, that whole group, I would assume that they all want to go home and relax and not do anything for the next month. But the other guys, you might see some of them get filtered into the team. And at the same time, I think you've also got a lot of roster positions for next year's World Cup that are very much up in the air. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see guys like Stuart Holden, like I said, Landon Donovan. You know, there's even been, you know, talk about Aguchi Onyewu and Carlos Mogonegra and those kind of guys coming in. And, I mean, those are guys that are legitimately playing for roster spots in Brazil next year. That this summer's Gold Cup, it'll be very important to some of them, you know?
What's been your impression of the handling of Landon Donovan since his hiatus over the winter period from football, his late return to the LA Galaxy, and Klinsmann not including him in these squads? Do you think Klinsmann has treated him well, or do you think if things had gone the other way, this would have been turned around on Klinsmann and people would have held him to account for not putting Don LD into this US men's national team? And it's just lucky that they've managed to pull off an excellent string of wins in these last few rounds.
It was a gutsy call by Klinsmann not to include him, because if things don't go well, then yeah, you've left the all-time leading scorer sitting at home. So yeah, it was a gutsy thing. I think it was fair. I mean, Landon took a break from the game, made it clear that he wasn't, you know, in the right mindset to play there for a while. And at this point, you know, I think it's a coach rewarding players for their loyalty, for showing up, for working hard. And, you know, I mean, I think Landon, he'll get that chance with the Gold Cup. And if he shows up and does what Landon usually does for the U.S. national team, then yeah, he'll be right back in the mix. But, yeah, I mean, Klinsmann did what he felt was right, and it worked out well for him, because with Landon not being there, I mean, you found Graham Zuzi, and he's become a very solid player for you. And you've gotten to try a bunch of different options. You've gotten to try, you know, Fabian Johnson moving up. You've gotten to try Beasley at left back numerous times. I mean, and you found a comfort level with that. So now it's on Landon to come back in and prove that he deserves one of those spots, and then for Klinsmann to figure out where in the first team Landon fits. You know, if their rhythm's still going, then do you even bring him back? So hopefully Landon will get in, do well with the Gold Cup team, make his way back for these final few games in the Hex, and show Klinsmann that he does deserve to be on that roster, because let's be honest, US could use him in Brazil next year.
I think anybody could use Landon Donovan in Brazil, even if it's just for the old head on calm shoulders, if you will, especially in that sort of situation with the youngsters like Graham Zusi. Just finally, you mentioned Beasley got there at left back for the US men's national team, and there's been a lot of talk about how he doesn't quite fit the bill as a fullback in that left back spot for the US men's national team. A comfortable night for him against Honduras. Do you think it's essential for him to continue to play there, to get the experience, to get comfortable at that position? Or do you think that the U.S. should still be looking for somebody who can maybe fit that role slightly better?
I think the U.S. has Fabian Johnson, who fits that role slightly better. And the question is, once again, is that where Fabian Johnson goes to when Landon Donovan comes back? Is this already in the plan? Should he already be playing there instead of Beasley? You know, but for me, Beasley has come in and done a lot of things that I think, you know, obviously he's going to get criticism for not being a left back and for making mistakes and for getting caught out and those sorts of things. Truth is, the guy is not a full-time left back, and he comes out in some big spots for the U.S. and puts in performances where he's working hard, where he's doing everything he can to defend, and where he's really showing that, hey, if you give me a chance anywhere on the field, I'll play. So I appreciate the fact that he was willing to come in and take the risk of not looking good, of not being comfortable, of not being in his, you know, ideal position, and yet he still managed to put in good performances against, you know, Jamaica and Costa Rica and people like that, where he stepped up, really did a job, and I mean, do you want to see DeMarcus Beasley at left back for the long term? Probably not. But at the same time, it's something that I'm becoming more and more comfortable with the more games we see him playing there.
It is a fact that he is looking far more sure of himself in that role at fullback in the U.S. men's national team. Alan, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on the show today, and we really appreciate you taking the time out from your very busy schedule to join us here on WFD, mate. Best of luck, of course, for the U.S. men's national team with the friendly coming up in the Gold Cup as well next month, and we look forward to getting you back on as soon as possible to maybe chat a little bit of Major League Soccer as well as more U.S. men's national team football, my man.
Yeah, we'll talk a little Mexico too next time I come on, if you'd like to talk some Confederations Cup or whatever.
Of course, and we will get your input on Mexico as they continue to plod their way through the Confederations Cup and try and find a style of football that can actually get them playing well in CONCACAF World Cup qualification once again, man.
All right, man. Well, thanks for having me on. You guys have a good one.
You too. Alan Ramsey joining us there from Goal.com to talk all things U.S. men's national team football. Beasley looking confident at left back. He's liking it, Alan. He's liking having Beasley back there and having Fabian Johnson just ahead of him. Some people not so sure about it.